Today's daf in Masechet Eruvin, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Gimel. So yesterday we learned about the Shir of Esri Mamas, and we spoke about what the Mokar of the Esri Mamas might be. And so the suggestion, I'll leave it to Rav, which turned out to be clearly a mistake, and we traced where that mistake came from. But according to Rav, the Mokar of the Chachamim was the Pischa Shel Heichal. That was willing to stand by, and he thought that the Mokar of Rav Yehuda, who argued and said it doesn't have to be Esrim, was the Pischa Shel Ulam. Turned out yesterday that we saw that that was impossible, because the Pischa Shel Ulam was only 40 amas high, and Rav Yehuda was Machshir even 50 amas, so it couldn't have been that. So we said, okay, then the idea of Petach is that the Torah refers to Petachim even on the house of Nebuchadnezzar and on Achashverosh and so on. So because of that, there was actually two different issues. According to Rav, Rabbi Yehuda was looking at Pischa Shel Malachim, and when it came to the Chachamim indeed, according to one Shita, the Braita, were actually learning it out of the Pischa Shel Heichal. And we got up to the words, the two last words on Amud Beis, Beis Amud Beis, which is that we've got a problem. And the problem is that if, in fact, the Mokar of the Halacha is the way Rav learns that it's the Pischa Shel Heichal, and because of that, remember, Pischa Shel Heichal had a Tzuras HaPesach, and Rav had to shut up his son's tutor and tell him that he's got to tell his son that if there's a Tzuras HaPesach, it still won't be kosher if the Pesach is too wide. And that is clearly because he's patterning on a Pischa Shel Heichal that had a Tzuras HaPesach. So then there's another problem. And that is that the Tzura of the Pischa Shel Heichal had a very beautiful addition to it, which was entirely decorative, and it was called an amaltra, as we're going to see what that is. But it was a wooden type of design that was embedded in the stones above the Heichal. And because of that, our other problem is like this, Elameata Estigmar, if that's true. So then, Lotani Le Amaltra. So then even having that amaltra, which we'll see what it is, shouldn't help. And yet the problem is that an amaltra does help. And the Heichal amaltra havila, the Heichal had this beautiful extension. And even so, afiloch yesri mama hu de gavoa, we're limiting it to only 20 amos. And yet, as we're going to see later, if there's something that draws attention, like an amaltra or flashing strobe lights or whatever it is that's going to draw attention to the Korah, then we're not going to limit the Korah to being esri mama. Then it could be even higher. The problem is that we did have those flashing lights, so to speak. Because in the Heichal, even though there was an Amaltera, if we're using that as our model, it was still only Esri Mamos. It says in the Mishnah in Midot, Beferush, Chamesh Amalteraot Shomela Hayu Al Gaba, there were five Amalterot. And these Amalterot, we'll see, were wooden extensions built in to the, and they were decorative, according to some, and they were built in above the wall, above the door, in the wall above the door of the Heichal. And one was on top of the other, according to someone, each one extended out a little bit further than the other one. And for some reason, Rav is saying that we can use that and still, wait a minute, what is Dan? You're completely confused. I might you, what are you asking? Before you finish your question, excuse me, that Mishnah, I got news for you, is a Mishnah that is referring to the Ulam. It is not referring to the Heichal. You saw the Amaltra from outside of the Ulam. And it says that Farish over there, which I don't understand what you're asking. Dilma Kitanya, the Lashon of Dilma over here, by the way, is very confusing because it is not a Dilma. It's a Vadai. And the truth is that, as Rishonu points out, there are rare occasions where the word Dilma means you need to assume that. And if you'll recall, in the Yerushalmi, that word Dilma means it actually happened that. So we would say over a Maisa, you would introduce it that way. So here it means that Mishnah is talking about the Ulam, not the Heichal. So what are you driving me crazy for? Who cares about that? Hi, my Kusha. I got another Dilma. That means the same thing. It happens to be that we also know that the Tavnit Heichal was Ketavnit Ulam. Remember the whole idea over there in terms of the design of the Heichal and Ulam was that you had the smaller opening of the Heichal inside, and then it doubled in size as it reached the Ulam, right? That was a very dramatic effect. So the idea of that effect was almost as if you were looking at the Pischa Shel Heichal through a magnifying glass. And therefore, whatever was on the Ulam was on the Heichal. So the Amal Torot were on the Heichal. They were just magnified to double the size, like everything else, when it was the Pischa Shel Ulam, which is a really beautiful effect. So what are you asking me? I understand that Mishnah was talking about the Ulam, darn it, but I'm saying that the same thing had to be true about the Pischa Shel Heichal. So can we please get on with my question? Thank you. Anyway, back to my question. So Alama Amar Rabbi La Amar Rav. So can you explain to me if Rav is using the Pischa Shel Heichal as a model? So then how do you explain the fact that even though it had an Amal Torah, and Rav said two things that are we can ignore the first one, but I'll tell you what it's about, even though it's not Nogea right now, our discussion. There are two issues that we're addressing over here that generally are limitations in a Korah. One of them is the strength of the Korah. The Korah has to be strong enough to support what is called the standard half brick size. We're going to talk about that later on. So that's, for us, it happens to be that there were two kulas here. First of all, it has to be within the 20 amas, and it has to be able to support the chatzi levena, right? So two things Rav said. One was that if the korah is four tvachim wide, then it doesn't have to be strong enough to support. And that's the Alpha Pisha Eina Bria. And the other thing that he said, and this is the one that's important to us, is that Imi Eshla Amaltara, then even if it's more than 20 Tvachim, you do not have to make it lower, which doesn't make any sense. Because if Rav is learning it out of the Heichal, and the Heichal had an Amaltara, so that means the original model is 20 Amas with an Amaltara. So how could Rav have said, if it has an Amaltara, then you can ignore the model? That makes no sense. If Eino Tzorech L'mayit. Amar Rav Yosef, wait. You know, I don't know why everybody's getting so mixed up today. Rav never said that. That, I know what you're talking about. That was a braita. That wasn't Rav's personal statement. That was said over in a braita. Braita. Okay, so a braita. I know you're going to attack me in a minute because it's braita against Rav. Why should I pay any attention to that braita? Do you know that that braita is a verifiable braita? I mean, I don't know that it went through Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Shia. Man katani, whoever said that braita, you know, you never said it. Somebody said it was Rav, now you're saying it's a braita. I say, we forget the whole thing. No, says the Gomer Rabbi, I know who said it. Don't you can get away with that. It was said by Chama Bereda Rabba Baravua. He said it. He had a very reliable Kabbalah on that. And therefore, I am going to attack you. You're darn right. The Braita is a kasha on Rav. It says in the Braita, an Amal Torah, Tzemas Nisa, Tikshe L'Rav. So why is Rav arguing about this issue? If L'maisa, the Amal Torah, is kosher, in L'mala Miesrim, makes it kosher, L'mala Miesrim, then I'll leave it to Rav. That's a problem. Because it's supposed to be all based on a model of the Heichal that had an Amal Torah. So we're back to the same problem. Says Rav, excuse me, I love the way I'm in the middle of everything over here. Can you keep me out of this, okay? Dal ana mihocha, okay? Leave me out of this conversation. I say you have to deal with these issues without me. So just leave me out. Thank you. Matnaita milokashinadada. You've got two brises that are contradictory, right? I mean, one brisa did say, kipit chor shel heichal, didn't it? Okay, so, I mean, you're not going to deny me that there is a braita that says that the Pischa Shel Heichal is, in fact, the model for the Esrim Amma. Now, according to that braita, it's undeniable that there were Amal Torot in the Heichal, and that, nonetheless, we're limiting it to Esrim Amma. Then you've got another braita that says, but if it has an Amal Torah, then it's kosher. So why are you looking at me? Tell me how you understand those braita. There's no way to understand those braitas except to understand that there were two different shitot. That's all. Elamait lach lameimar. You're going to have to admit that it's a machlokas tanoim, whether we go as a model with the heichal, in which case an amal Torah will not help, or whether we're just using logic like we suggested, others suggested around here, and that the issue was that it should be nicker, and the whole issue is to be nicker, like Reb Nachman was going, and fine, okay, so if it's about nicker, which is Reb Nachman Bar Yitzchak, so then I understand that he would go like that brighter, but I go according to the brighter that did learn it out of the Pischa Shel Heichal. Says Reb Nachman Bar Yitzchak, you know, I love the way Rav, by pretending that he has nothing to do with this whole thing, has made us believe that we would have had the same problem without Rav. And that's not true. Rav is the source of all of our problems, and let's not forget it. If it wouldn't have been for Rav, we would have understood the Braita very simply. Below Rav, without Rav, I would not have had any problems of contradictions here. Matbaita adari lo kasha. Because I would have said there's only one approach to the Rabbanon. It's a very simple approach. It makes perfectly good sense. I don't know why we're looking around for things in the Torah that are called a petach. And so it's very simple. Was this a takana in order to avoid the confusion of people of a mavui that has an open end with Rishus HaRabim? That's all that it's about. What are we looking for all of these models for? Up till Esrim Amot, it's considered to be something that is noticeable. And if it's more than 20 amas, it's not noticeable. Remember the thing about the Hanukkah menorah? Well, what do you think? You're not allowed to put it over there, Lamalame, because we learned it out for Pischa Shel Heichal. Because it's not noticeable. How come Yosef's brothers didn't notice that the pit was full of Nechashim Vakravim? It was more than Esrim amas, apparently. In any event, it's all very simple. So if there's an Amaltra, so then it makes sense. The Amaltra is basically a flashing light. So if you put it 40 amas high and there's a flashing light, people look up at the flashing light. So as long as it's noticeable, it's all logical. It was Rav who created the whole issue by making these models, okay? So the Rabbanan, the real reason Korah Taima Mai is only Mishum Ekeira to make it clear that this is a Rishus HaYochid as opposed to Rishus HaRabim. And therefore, if you've got the Amaltra, it is Heker. So then you ask me, then, so why did it talk about the Pischa Shel Heichal since that's irrelevant? It didn't use it as a model. It used it as a simon. Everybody will remember the 20 amas if I link it to something that's well known. The Pischa Shel Heichal was well known. So I linked it to the Pischa Shel Heichal. I wasn't saying that's the source. I'm just saying if you forgot and you got mixed up, was that 30 amas? Was that 25 amas? No, it's Pischa Shel Heichal. Okay, so it's 20 amas. So Heidik Tani Yoter Mi Pischa Shel Heichal is just a simon. Stop taking it so seriously. Wait a minute, says Gemara. According to Reb Nachman Bar Yitzchak. Now, Reb Nachman Bar Yitzchak has got a problem. You know what the problem is? We have two Mishnayas, as we spoke about yesterday. It's fascinating, this whole interrelationship between the Mishnah in Masechet Sukkah and the Mishnah here that has bothered us from the beginning. And as Tosis points out, the only reason we started the Masechet in this strange way without even telling me what the dinim are and what we're trying to address is really weird. I mean, I understand if you're telling me about a sukkah, everybody knows what a sukkah is because they read the holy book. But how in the world are people supposed to know what a Korah is and where it's supposed to be? I mean, it's a strange way to begin a Masechet. So Tosus says that, yes, but the reason that we open it up that way was because we're patterning it on Sukkahs. This is where we have two Masechetot that basically open in the same way. What is the connection anyway between a Mavi and a Sukkah? Okay, we're going to have to think about that. But in any event, we've got a problem. Because you see, the way Rav understands it, so then it's two completely different issues that happen to be the same in format. One of them is a problem of Hekera, which is maybe Hekera, could be the Sukkah. And the other one is a question of learning it out from the Pischa Shel Heichal, which, by the way, is also fascinating because, of course, all the dinim of Sukkah is also learned out from the Heichal. So that's other questions about Schach, again, which we'll have to talk about how these two issues interrelate. So, but according to Nachum Bar Yitzchak, if we are to understand the machlokas in Masechet Sukkah, same machlokas, Reb Yudin the Chachamim, is it okay if it's more than 20 amasai or not? You're schach, okay? So, I mean, according to one shita over there, Masechet Sukkah, what was that about? That was about the question whether people will know and be aware of the fact that they're sitting in a sukkah if the schach is that high. And that's because it says in the Torah, L'man yedu dorotechem ki besukot or shaftet b'nei Yisrael. But then that would mean that we have two machlokas in that are precisely the same issue. Do people notice something? Why would we have two completely different Mishnayot and two Mesechtot that are the same exact Mishnayot? We never do that. If we have a general Machloket, so then keep one case or the other would have served. So Rav Nachman ben Yitzchak, I mean, yes, if he holds, if he does not hold of Rabbah's explanation of Masechet Sukkah as to why there's a problem if the schach is 20 amot high, okay, so then there may be a totally different issue involved. But if he does hold of Rabbah, and what was Rabbah? Rabbah was the one who said, Yom Rabbah, K'tiv, why is the sukkah posel l'mala mi'esrim l'schach? Because l'man yedu doratechem, ki b'sukkot oshavti et b'nei Yisroel b'otziotam eretz Mitzrayim. And Rabbah said, ad esrim amah, up until the height of 20 amot, the person will be aware, at least subliminally, he's picking up in his peripheral vision that he's sitting in a sukkah, and he's always aware of the fact, the man yedu dorotechem. So he knows he's in a sukkah. Adam yodea shadar basukkah. But once the sukkah is l'malam yasrimama, then ina adam yodea, why mishum delo shaltaba ina? Your eye does not really grasp that height when you are sitting in the sukkah. So then there's a problem, because if they're arguing in two places in the same exact thing, because Amagab is Sukkah Nami Be'akera Plige, so then why do they need two separate Mishnayas, one in Sukkah and one in Mavoi, to tell me the same basic approach? The Chachamim in both cases hold Lo Shalta Ba'ina, and therefore Lamalam Yasser is possible. Reb Yehuda in both cases hold Yes Shalta Ba'ina, and therefore it's Karsha Lamalam Yasser. It's unnecessary. Says the Gemara, that's not so bad. It's still necessary. I'll tell you why. Because, I mean, the situation in a Sukkah and a Mavoi is very different. In a Mavoi, you're walking through the Mavoi. In a Sukkah, you're sitting back on the Sukkah, and you're leaning back in your chair at the table, and you're talking to people and so on, right? So, if it would have said it in by the Sukkah, I would have said, okay, Rabbi Yehuda says, look, when you're sitting around in a Sukkah, it's not as if you've got your head aimed in one direction, your eye is never going to look up. When you're sitting at a table, you know, you look around. So according to that, you would be, once in a while, you would notice that you're in a sukkah, and that's efficient. It doesn't have to be all the time that you're seeing it out of your peripheral vision. So I would have said, maybe that's why Reb Yehuda says over there, because given the yeshiva avida, people will sit in the sukkah, and therefore their eyes will move around and shoulder by ina, masha enkein, a mavui. A mavoi, I mean, the whole idea is you don't sit around in a mavoi, you're walking through the mavoi, you have your eyes focused on the entrance, you're looking at where you're going, and because of that, maybe Rav Yehuda would be made. If it's that high above Esrim, maybe you won't see it, because since the lehiluch of it, so maybe there he would be made to the Rabbanan, that you cannot have it l'malam Esrim. And on the other hand, let's say we would only have known this case over here about the Korah, I would have said, sure. Of course the Rabbanan said a Korah has to be Esrim, because the person is focused as he's walking. He's not going to notice it. Bavo Bahach, Masha Einkein, when you're talking about the case of the Schach, a guy sitting in the Sukkah ultimately will realize that there's Schach above him. So maybe they would be made to rebuke that it was sufficient. So because of that, I need both of the Mishnayos, but it could very well be that they both revolve around the question about whether Shalta Ba'ina or not. Now, by the way, we've been talking about this Amaltra. I mean, I'm just curious, what exactly is an Amaltra? I mean, how is it made over there in the Heichal? Well, Rav Chama Berei de Rabba Bar Avua says it actually looked like kinim. It looked like the nests of birds. So it was these decorative little things that were sticking out of the wood. And it looked as if there were birds that were perched above the door of the Heichal with their nests. And that, of course, we know there's a remez in the pasuk, gam tzipor matza keinla. There's something about nudi harchem tzipor, that the neshama of an adam is similar to a tzipor. So, okay, there were these remuzim, and they were beautifully done in terms of artistic work, and it was very attractive to people, and they would be aware of it. Ki ata Rav Dimi, when Rav Dimi came to Bavel, he said, in Eretz Yisrael, they say that it just refers to paskei da'arz. It refers to these long, beautiful cedar wood that were extensions above the door, just to give the door a sense of extending further and further out as it went up. And that was enough. So man yomer paskei da'arz. So obviously, if there's really something that's very attractive, like if it would have been an artistic design of kinim, for sure that would have been considered to be an amaltra, because it would have attracted your attention like a flashing light. But if you hold that it was actually artistic work, and everybody that was coming to see the Heichal would always be told, don't miss the Mona Lisa, the Amaltera. So then it would be like going to the Louvre and forgetting to look at the right paper. And everybody would look up at that, right? So then Pisque de Arza, that might not be sufficiently attractive that people would actually want to note that. Mandio Merpasque de Arza. So what is the Sfora of that? Is it because it's Mishum de Nofish Mashke? Is it because like it extends further out? So because it's longer, so therefore your eye picks it up? Is that the point? I mean, a sukkah doesn't have, remember, here we're talking about, you're right, there is definitely a difference between a door that's a maximum of 10 amas wide, and then it's got these things that are pulling your eyes all the way to the side. I understand, but a sukkah is not like that. A sukkah can be as wide as you want it. So what would be the meaning of the sukkah? If over there, even though the sukkah is very wide, the Rabbanan are still limiting it to 20 amas, and we don't say since, well, I mean, it's ridiculous to say only 20 amas if the thing is a mile long, then obviously you're going to be seeing it at some point, right? Does the sukkah be as long as you want? And that's not true. Bottom line is, we're koveya one particular shear, it doesn't matter how wide the sukkah is, so why all of a sudden would it make a difference if I add an amaltra to the heichal, or to your mavui, in this case, to make it noticeable? That's true. It's given to Kochoshiv Itle Kala. The point is that people know about it. So it's really like you might have missed the Mona Lisa if you didn't know all about it before. You know, I mean, somebody would persuade you there's something very special about that picture. Okay, not that I noticed, but everybody says so, so I'm going to look at it. So maybe that's true about the Amaltera also. Everybody comes and everybody's been told about the Amaltera, and therefore it's going to be noticeable because given the kokoshiv itle kal. Anyway, I got another issue for you. And that is we're talking about betoch esrim, right? Now, what does that mean? So, I mean, like, this thing is a thick pole. Remember, it's got to be thick enough to be able to support a half brick, which is called an ariach. And does that mean the whole thing has to be inside of the esrim amos? I mean, like, what if there's like 1 centimeter of the thickness of it is inside the esrim amos, and the rest of it sticks out above? I mean, does it go according to what I see or what? And of course, the same question would be about the schach. I mean, the schach, I need a lot of schach. I have this thick schach. And actually, only 1 centimeter of the schach is within the esrim amos, and the rest of it goes higher. So, I mean, is that okay or what? Mixas kor betoch esrim, mixas kor lamalam esrim. We're talking about the thickness of it. Or mixas chach betoch esrim, mixas chach lamalam esrim. What's the deal? Does the whole thing have to be there, and therefore it's possible, or just has to begin there? Omar Rabba, well, I would say that in the case of the mavui, it would be kosher, even though some of it is above 20 amas, but in the case of the sukkah, it would be possible. Huh? Well, I understand. What's the difference? I mean, it's the same basic halacha, isn't it? Maishana b'movi de kosher. Why are you saying that it's kosher? This is another one of the words that you should be writing down. It's called klosh. Klosh simply means that we virtually erase anything which is irrelevant to us. So what do you care if there is some of it sticking out on top? So erase that. That's all. Make it thinner. Klosh means thin it down. Okay, so you virtually made it thinner, but it hurts you that there's some of it above. So just look at the part that's there. But if that's what you're saying, you could say the same thing about the sukkah. So sukkah namin lema klosh, what would be wrong, is the same thing. What do you mean? If I thin it down virtually, then I'm letting in too much sunshine, and I have to have enough shade. But, I mean, if my computer's adjusting for the fact that I virtually removed it, so now I got more sun, right? I mean, it's a sophisticated enough program to notice that. Ah, come on, man. If you're telling me we're supposed to adjust for virtual changes, even though they're not real, you have exactly the same problem if you've got some of the korah sticking up, right? Because if you're going to virtually thin down the korah, then it's going to become so thin it's going to blow away in the wind, right? Okay, because it's got to be strong enough to hold the ariach. It's not going to be strong enough to hold the ariach if it's only 1 millimeter wide, thick. So, I mean, you'd have the same problem. But obviously, you do not make those kind of adjustments. You've got the same Higg bosons you had before, and because of that, it still weighs enough to hold up the Chatzi Ariach, and therefore your virtual adjustments really don't bother us, because for all intents and purposes, we view the current Korah, even though, yes, theoretically, I understand it's 1 micron thick, yes, yes, but in reality, we will view it as being made out of a neutron star. So it's so heavy, it's not a problem, even though it's 1 micron thick, all right? So al karka, you're going to view it as being made out of shputim shomatechet, it's made out of steel. What do you mean? But it's made out of straw. Doesn't matter. Once you're virtualizing, why not virtualize all the way? So we're talking about, for all intents and purposes, it's got that weight, okay? So the same thing is true about the sukkah. For all intents and purposes, it has that power of shade. Because, I mean, fact is, there is schach here, right? I mean, it's not as if I'm using schach posel. Schach that's lamalam yesumam, it's not that the schach is posel. The schach is completely kosher schach. We've got a problem about the issue about people noticing it. But in this case, we don't have that problem because the bottom of the schach has indeed been noticed. So why should we passel the shade that is coming from the schach that's lamala miyesrim? So it's exactly the same thing. So whatever you're going to say about the mavui has got to be true about the schach too. So Achanami, you have no choice but to admit that nase tzilatam ruba mechamata. So why in the world did Rabbi say that the sukkah is not kosher, but the mavui is kosher? I don't get it. On my Rava Miparzakya, look, it's just basically a logistical and practical kind of insight. Because really, what Rava was thinking was that a sukkah is often just used by an individual, right? So let's say he started off sukkahs and everything was fine. He didn't notice that in the course of the first few days of sukkahs, there was a heat wave. And a little bit of the schach, which happens to have been that millimeter that was sticking into the esrim ama, has gotten withered away. And now really, all of his schach is amal of esrim ama. You really think he's going to notice? He won't notice. And because of that, we're worried that he's going to end up using a posel sukkah for most of Yontev. Masha Inkin, we are talking about a mavui, which is used by a rabbi. Okay, there's always one super frum guy in the chotzeres, right? Now, that guy is always going to be sitting around saying, hey, wait a minute, the movie's no good. It's gotten a little bit thinner or something. I notice it's, I mean, there's no way you're going to get away with anything when you're in one of these types of mavos. So because of that, you can rely over there on its being okay. And therefore, movie, which is for a rabbin, midakri adade, they're constantly going to remind each other about how it is that it should be fixed. Ravina says, I say it's very simple. I don't know why everybody's making such a big deal. Sukkah is a deoraisa. So if anything happens to that sukkah, I mean, you're going to be over on a deoraisa, like you're eating outside of your sukkah and so on. You're being mevatel the mitzvah. So obviously over there, we want to be machmer. What do you make a big deal about a derabbanan and a mavoi? I went, I made the tikkun, saying, who knows, maybe something will happen and it'll get worn away with time. No. So what's the big deal? So you didn't realize that your tikkun derabbanan wasn't perfect. No, okay, fine. So when you will realize it, you'll go ahead. I'm not going to be machmer on a derabbanan. So mavli derabbanan, loich mir be rabbanan. Derabbanan are never machmer on a rabbanan because of a possibility something may go wrong. So it's very simple. There's only one problem. That is that Rav Ada bar Matna, he said over this whole thing, but it came out the exact opposite. And he said it ibcha. He said that what Rabba said was that in the mavui it's pasul, and in the sukkah it's kosher, which of course this certainly gets rid of this approach. So what in the world would be the reason for that? So we went through exactly the same question, of course, according to the way Rav Ada bar Matna said it over. And we asked, why in the world is it good enough for the sukkah? And I'm assuming that that's because we say klosh, right? So why can't we say klosh for the mavui? And in this case, the Gemara does exactly the opposite. If you're going to say klosh for the mavui, so then it no longer is going to weigh enough. And because of that, it's going to blow away in the wind. Ikalash tave the Korani telat beruach. We can't do that. I understand. You have the same problem with the sukkah. If you're going to be kloshit, so then you're going to be taking away the shade because you have to erase that from the picture, right? So you're going to have too much sunlight, and then what you're left with is a sukkah that's puzzle. I mean, obviously that doesn't bother you for the simple reason that why in the world would I say that because of a virtual change, therefore I'm going to be taking away the shade? That's absurd. So that's the reality of it, and the schach is in puzzle. So the same thing is true over here. The reality of this korah is that it weighs a ton. Okay? So you want to pretend it's made out of neutron stars. I don't care how you got it to weigh a ton, but the bottom line is it weighs a ton. So then take that and don't worry about it's blowing away in the wind. Things that weigh a ton don't blow away in the wind. So view it as being made out of Shpudim Shomatechet. So same question that we had in the inverse. Omar Rava Miparzakya. The truth is that both of them are kosher. But there's a reason why we had to make this distinction. Why? Because a sukkah, who an individual will often be the one who uses that sukkah, so he's very careful about the sukkah that he uses for himself. And there's certain chavivas of the individual for his sukkah to make sure that it's kosher and so on. And therefore, if it does get worn out and some of it dries, he'll be careful to fix it and stick the schach within the 20 amas. Mashen came a mavoi. A mavoi is used by a rabbim. And whenever you've got a rabbim, basically, everybody relies on everybody else. So it's the same kind of thing of, what's the hechsher of this restaurant? What do you mean people have been eating here for years? Such and such a rav ate there. And why did such and such a rav eat there? Because he knew that you ate there. Oh, I see. So that's the hechsher. Exactly. So the idea over here is, once we started with this mavoi and everything was great, then for the rest of time, everybody is using the mavoi because, well, Rav so-and-so used this mavoi, and certainly you're not more firm than he is, really. The fact that that was 23 years ago when they had first built it, and now it no longer is a kosher mavoi, doesn't have anything to do with it, because everybody's been eating in this restaurant and walking in this mavoi for the past 23 years. Now, who the heck is going to be the guy that's going to stop, okay? So because of that, since Rabim are using it, they're samech on each other, and they will not recognize that something has changed. You know what people say about the pot of two shutfim? The pot of two shutfim is lo chamima velo karira. It's never properly warmed, and it never is allowed to cool down. Because everybody comes in, does a little something that the other person does, and relies on the other person for taking care of it. And in the end, when you've got two cooks in the kitchen, nothing works out. Ravina here says the same thing that he said before, except again in the opposite direction. Sukkah, since sukkah is d'oraisa, we do not need to make any types of takanas for it because people won't take it seriously. People take it very seriously. It's a d'oraisa after all, so it does not require any chizuk. People are interested in making sure that their sukkah is kosher, and they go out of their way to do so. But a mavoi, where the whole thing is a d'rabbanan, people won't pay all that much attention to. They'll figure, okay, it was good. Because of that, boy, chizuk. And we want to make sure that unless that korah is all the way inside, forget about it. You can't do that kind of thing and rely on klosh. Okay, anyway, so now we've got, like, my head is whirling. I mean, everything that you say, you've told me the opposite, you know. So is there a bottom line over here or not? My haviala. So what is, in fact, the actual halakha? Is it or is it not kosher? That's the question. Did we say that this is true, that there's a difference between the sukkah and the mavoi? Rabba Baravula says, I say, forget it. I mean, there's a tzad to say that both of them are no good. You just explained it to me. I would say both of them are puzzle. It's got to all be inside of that esrim amah. Whereas Rabba says, on the contrary, both of them are kosher because I showed you the word studim to be mekel on both of the sides. And there's a deeper problem with your whole question. And that is, to be honest, the reason that it's kosher is because it was a stupid question in the first place. It never said anything over here about it needing to be within 20. It needs to be at the halal of 20. So the whole thing was absurd. Your whole discussion was absurd. Lamala miyasri mama. The idea over here is that the halal of the sukkah, the empty space of the sukkah, is what needs to be 20, not the schach inside the empty space. So I don't know what you were asking. It was a stupid question. And the same thing is true about the mavoi. It's the inside, the empty space of the opening to the movie that needs to be not greater than Esrim. That's it, baby. And there's no concept at all of having 1 micron inside of the Esrim. Nothing needs to be inside of the Esrim. And therefore, I don't know what you're asking. By definition, what that means is that we always put it right at the top of Esrim. So then obviously some of it's going to be Lamala Mi Esrim, definition. So what kind of silliness was this? Amalei Rav Papa LaRava, yes, 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 absolutely. Tanya de Misayelach, I can bring you right from the Brayta. Take a look at the Lashon over there. Mavoi Shu Gavoa Mi Esrim Ama, this is what we talked about the whole time. This is the thing that was driving us crazy, that we seem to be using the Pischa Shel Eichal, and either we were using it as a simen or we were using it as the Makar. But the bottom line is, we did compare it to the Pischa Shel Eichal. Okay, tell me, was the top of the Pischa Shel Eichal, did it go into the Esrim Amot? Of course not. The Pischa Shel Eichal was Esrim Amot. Not the top of it. The empty space reached until Esrim Amos. And that would be the idea. And what we're talking about over here, Amovo Shugavom Esrim Amo, Yoter Mi Pitcho Shel Eichal, that the idea over there is that Yema'et, the Heichal Gufo, the Chalolo was Esrim. And therefore, the entire question was ridiculous. Eisvei Rav Shimon Bar Rav Ashi L'Rav Papa. Okay, so we've got a little bit of a problem, because if Rav Papa is correct, then that would mean that the Schach is always put above the Esrim, and yet it actually says apparently not like that. It says, Ketzad hu oseh in the Braita, how do you put a Korah on top of a Mavui? Meniach Korah misvat Esrim ulamata. Whoa, that would mean that the whole thing would have to be within Esrim. No, that's crazy. That's got to mean ulamala. Yeah, I understand it's got to mean Lamala, except for the unfortunate fact that it does say Lamata, V'halamata katani. So what are we going to do about that? I think we, oh gosh, I think we scared away of Dr. Barry. Oh, that's terrible. Somebody send him a WhatsApp or something. So it does say Lamata. No, that's just telling me, basically, that there's two limits. There's Lamata is like Lamala. In other words, whatever the minimal shear is the same as the maximal shear. That just like Lamala Chalala Esrim, Af Lamata Chalala Asara. So that when we're talking about it being Pasul, if it's Lamata Me Asara, so then that would mean that you cannot have even part of the Korah going beneath the minimum. That's why we put it that way. So stop at Lamala Me Esrim, and let's say, and Lamata would be the same exact idea. Now let's talk about how large is an Amma. So Amar Abayi Mishbeid Rav Nachman. We have the Amma of a Sukkah, and we have the Amma of a Mavui, and we've been discussing those dinim. You should know that those Amot are measured in the smaller Amma, which is 5 Tvachim per Amma. But when it comes to Kilayim, over there, the Amma has to be measured l'chumra in an Amma of 6 Tvachim, which is the way that we normally measure Amma. So in any particular situation, we utilize the chumra, whatever it would be. So Amat Mavui. Okay, let me just get this straight that I understand why this is a chumra. When you're talking about the Amot, in terms of what? I mean, in terms of its height, okay, I understand that would mean it cannot be higher than 20 amot of smaller amot. And also, there was another thing that had to do with 10 amot, and that was what was considered to be a pirtza. So if you have a break of 10 amot in a wall, then that's not considered to be a petach, that's considered to be a pirtza, and that had to be fixed before you'd be able to be metaken the mavui. And so it's telling you have to be machmer on that. Even if it's only 10 smaller amot, also it would be a problem if it's more than that. But there is a case in which the amma is going to be a chumra if it were actually the longer one. And that would be meshach mavoi be'arba amot, which is a kula if you're following Rav Nachman. If we're going to take the smaller amma, for how long does a mavoi have to be in order for it to be called a mavoi? And that was 4 amot. If I'm going to be allowed to use the smaller amma, then I'm going to be makel. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to say this mavoi I can turn into a mavoi to carry in, even though it's not quite as long as it ought to be. Now, that's not a problem. Rav Nachman holds, like the Mandiyamar, who says there is no such halacha. as a mavoi needing to be four amot. He holds like the Man Yomar, says a mavoi can be as short as four tvachim, and therefore he never talked about the amma of a mavoi. Or maybe he does. Maybe Reb Nachman agrees that it's really four amot. He meant, you know, the normal use of amot in a mavoi, which has to do with how wide it is and how tall it is and how long it is. I mean, come on, how often do we get to a mavoi where we got to worry whether it's four amas long? I mean, that's a tiny mavoi. Remember, it's got to have the doors in it. So anyway, he was talking about Rov Amot. Now, what about the other part, the Sukkah? Amat Sukkah is also in the smaller Amot. What was that referring to? Again, obviously the Gova of the Sukkah is being very machmer. It can't be higher than, the Schach can't be higher than 20 small Amot. Also, Legabi Dofen Akuma, please write this down in your Munachim because it's a very important part of this Masechta's stress on understanding all the dinim of Mechitzot, Dofen Akuma. So Dofen Akuma means a virtual curved wall. And what this is referring to is that you really have to have your schach is going to be attached to the wall of that is coming up from the ground. Now, what about if your schach is actually put over a hole in the middle of your living room? So you've got one of these kinds of rooms in which you turn the room into a sukkah by removing the middle area of the roofing and covering it over instead with schach. Well, then the schach doesn't reach the wall, right? And you can't use the not kosher schach, which is your normal roofing, to be your sukkah. So what can you do? This is the case of Dofen Akuma. The non-kosher schach that constitutes your current roofing, or whatever it is, maybe you put a blanket over it, I don't know, but whatever it is, it was a kosher schach, that is considered to be part of the vertical wall at the end, and therefore it's as if the vertical wall was sort of bent until it hit the schach on top. And that is true up to four amos. So that would mean that what it was that Reb Nachman was saying is that we can only allow you four amos of small amos, not big amos. Okay, over there, vis-a-vis Dofen Akuma would also be a chumra. But there's also a place where Reb Nachman would be mekel if he says we can use a small amma. And that would be the question of how big does a sukkah have to be? So if you pask it, that the meshech of a sukkah, that a sukkah has to be four amot by four amot, so then if you're going to tell me there's small amot, you're being mekel. And I thought the whole point of Reb Nachman, I mean, we don't have any mucker in the Torah or anywhere for this. It must just be the Reb Nachman is saying, okay, so where it's a chumrah, we'll go, we have two different types of amas, we'll always use the chumrah amot. But over there, the chumrah would be that it has to be a bigger sukkah. And because we know that there's this halacha, the Tanya Rabbi Omer, Omer aniko sukkah shein ba arba amot al arba amot psulaf. The sukkah is not big enough, it's not considered to be a kosher sukkah. So how could Reb Nachman say it's okay if it's a smaller amma? Well, maybe Reb Nachman doesn't agree with Rebbe. Reb Nachman follows the sheet of the Rabbanan. And the Rabbanan say, even if it's seven tvachim by seven tvachim, which code word for is Einam Achzeket El Rosho Rubo V'Shulchano, that that would be enough, in which case we never deal with anything that has to do with Amot in the Sukkah in terms of its size. Or I could give you the same teretz I gave you before. I don't know that Reb Nachman doesn't hold like Rebbe. Maybe he does. When he talked about the Amot, he meant most of the Amot that we deal with in the Masechet, which is the question of how high the Sukkah is and the question of how one can you use Dofen Akuma. That's what he was talking about. Those are five Tzvachim Amos. I mean, obviously he's made it. Then in cases where it would turn out to be a Chumra to have the longer one, then you have to have the longer one. What is the other thing that he said? The third one. I'm not familiar with that. Amat Kilayim. Amat Kilayim is talking about an Amma that has to be six Tvachim. What is that referring to? Well, that's referring to this fascinating halacha about a karachat hakerem and a mechol hakerem. We should be getting a very big smile on Moshe Forman's face very soon. His favorite mesechet. So where you've got karachat, which is you cleared out an area of your vineyard straight in the middle, or you've got a mechol, and a mechol, of course, means a dance around, and that's what it means over here also. It means that there's an empty space that is dancing around your kerem. In other words, there's a perimeter of empty space. Now, the halacha over there is based on the Mishnah over here in Kilayim, karachat hakerem. So how big does the clearing have to be in the middle of your vineyard? Now, you have to imagine this as it's surrounded by vines that are all planted in rows all around you. And then part of the area in the middle, you decided you want to plant something else in. You cleared out all of the vines in the middle, and now you want to be able to plant something that would be mutter and would not be considered to be koloya karam. So you want to have a wheat field or something in there, right? How big does that cleared space have to be? So it says in the Mishnah, according to Beit Shammai, it has to be 24 amos, and according to Beis Hillel, it has to be 16 amos. Now, the reason for this is very straightforward. If there's a normal din, which is called the Avodat HaKerem, the Avodat HaKerem means it takes area for me to be able to bring in a tractor and to bring in the various kalim that I need to be able to deal with the earth and the all of the various things I have to do when I'm harvesting or when I'm plowing. And that means that there's four amot to the side of the actual row of the plantings that I'm going to be needing to work in. It's because of that that we have to have four amot between each row in order for it to be considered a valid kerem in the first place. So let's take a look at this. We've got four on either side, right? That's bottle to the kerem because that's called workspace. That already gives us eight. Now, according to Beit Shammai, a field is only considered to be a field if it itself is at least 8 amot wide. Otherwise, it doesn't have validity to be called a field. So now, if I take a look at this clearing, any place that I'm close to an edge where there are vines, and over here they surround me on all four sides, right? So not necessarily maybe two sides, but the idea is that the part of the so-called field that's up against the four amos on either side that are considered to be 100% vineyard, they're just working area for the vineyard. Each one of those areas that is less than eight will not have the chashivas of a sada on that side, if that's all that there were. Because I would say, well, I mean, I've got my four amos over here. What is this piece of junk land that is jutting out over here? It's not big enough to plant anything in because minimal planting land would be eight amos, according to Beit Shammai. So therefore, I would need 16 of this on either, because that gives me eight on either side. Okay, so I've got a middle area that I'm going to plant in, which is 16 amos, and then I've got four on one side to be the area of working the kerem. Four on the other side gives me a total of 24. And therefore, according to Beit Shammai, I need 24. Beit Hillel says, no, a field of arba amos is sufficient to be called a field, and because of that, I have four on either side, gives me eight, and then I've got the four amos in the middle, which is big enough to be a field, gives me 12. As far as the mechol is concerned, which is the outside perimeter over there, I've got another problem. The problem that I have there is that the first four amot that are up against a wall, like a mechol hakerem is, they cannot be worked because I need to make certain that that area is going to be maintained solid earth because of the wall. If I start digging into that area and water starts getting under the wall, the whole thing is going to collapse. So because of that, I always make certain that the area of four amos from the wall is solid ground. So therefore, says Beit Shammai, if you want to be able to utilize any of this space, you would need a space of 16 amot for the same reason. Because you're only going to be able to utilize the area outside of that four, and you need eight in order to be a field, and you need four in order to be able to be up against your vines. And therefore, the only way you can use that space is if you got four on the sides of the vines, four on the sides of the wall, and eight in the middle, which gives you 16. And Beis Hillel says, no, you do need four up against the wall, yes. You do need four up against the vine, yes. But you only need four, like I said before, in order for it to be a proper field. And therefore, 12 would be sufficient in this case. So it's basically the same idea, except since it's only on one end, you don't have the problem of the eight and eight or the four and four. I'll leave it to Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. So Ezeu hi karachat hakerem, what do we mean by a clearing? We mean a kerem that was ripped out in the middle, so it was Chorav Emtzaito, and therefore, if you don't have 16 amot, then the din would be, this of course according to Beis Hillel, do not bring Zera into that area at all, because It'll all become Kaloi Akera. But once you've got 16 Amot over there, then you just leave the 4 Amot on either side, and then you can go ahead and you could be Zoreya the rest. What is a Bechol Akerem, continues your Mishnah? It's the area between the plantings and the fence that goes around it. So in that case, if you don't have 12 Amot there, you can't put anything else in there because it's going to be part of the Kerem, and you'll be over on Kiloya Kerem. And if there was already 12 Amot, so then it's fine. You know, Ten Kedei Avodato on one side of the Kerem is 4 Amot. You keep the 4 Amot that you can't work in, obviously, up against the wall and the fence. And then you can be Zoreya et Hashar. Now, the problem over here is that Aliba de Reb Nachman, if you're going to use the larger Amot, so what he's saying is I can't use my small Amma. I've got to use the larger Amma. But even in this case, we've got a problem because if you use the larger Amma, there is a measurement that is going to give you a kula. And what would that be? That is the din of ha'ika ritzufim ba'arba Amot. If you have rows of vines where you did not leave the requisite 4 amot between one row and the next to be able to properly do the agricultural work that is necessary in bringing in a plow and bringing in a tractor to be able to collect the grapes. So then it says in the Mishnah, the Tanan Kerem HaNatua Pochot Mi'arba Amot, if somebody planted his Kerem wrong, he did not leave 4 Amot between each row. Rabbi Shimon says that is not called a vineyard. That's called individual vines. It's not viable. It doesn't get the chumras of a Kerem. You do not need to keep other things out of the whole area. You treat each vine on its own because it's not interrelated. And the din over there is you only have to be marchik 6 tvachim from other types of zroyim. You do not have all the problems of the Amas and the 25 Amas and so on. And therefore, it's a big kula. The Chachomim say, no, it's not true. Because the very fact that it's not viable means that ultimately you're going to have to rip out every other row. And if you rip out every other row, because they're not going to live, you're soon going to find out that your Kerem is dying. So you're going to rip out every other row. Then you will have Arba Amas between each one, right? Okay, but anyway, since Aliba de Rabbi Shimon, you've got a problem because you're going to be makil if you've got less than 4 amos. So then it's a kula if you're going to be using the big amma. And Reb Nachman said you can use the big amma in order to get this kula, and then you won't have a problem with kelayim within shisha tvachin. So how's Reb Nachman going to explain that? Why would I say all of the amas of kelayim are bigger amas? This one should be a small amma. Well, I mean, maybe Reb Nachman holds like the Rambanan, that we look at the rows as if they're missing in between. Or I could tell you the same answer. Ibai Deimel Olam Rabbi Shimon, he holds of that. And he was talking about most of the Amas that have to do with measuring of the Kerem, like Mechola Kerem, Karachata Kerem. That's what he was talking about. Now, this is all very nice, the way Abaya quoted Reb Nachman, but there's a whole other approach to what Reb Nachman said. Reb Nachman, according to this, never spoke about two different sizes of Amot, one being so different from the other that it's only 5 tvachim, and one being 6 tvachim. That is an immense difference. And by the way, note that the words are the amot that we're talking about over here is referring to amot she'omru chachomim, not amot that are in the Torah. Because as Tosis points out, this does not include the amot of the yesod and the amot of the sovev. That's a different thing. But what Rava quotes Reb Nachman is, he says, very simple. All amot are 6 tvachim amot, wherever the Chachamim use the word amah. However, there are differences in how to measure those tvachim. Some of them are happy, and they are sochakot. They smile. And some of them are miserable, meaning that they're all tight. You know, we talk about somebody who's got his mouth all tight, and he's always upset. So he's a tight guy, man. Boy, he's stiff. So those amot are stiff. And therefore, when you measure them with your fingers. Of course, it's not really your fingers because you're all thumbs when it comes to measuring the tvachim of the amas. But your thumbs are pressed very closely together. Or others learn your various fists are very close together. And that ends up being a smaller amma by some extent. And it's a few percentage points smaller. And that's the difference. But it certainly is not a difference of a relationship of 5 to 6. And in fact, Abaya does not seem to be right based on the Braita. The Braita says, Meitve kol amot note, sha'omru chachomim. All of them are ama bat shisha, except for one thing. Ubilvad, you have to take note of the fact that they're not all the same. Shelo yu mechuvanot. Don't make sure that they're, make sure they're not exactly the same. So according to a Rava, that's very obviously what that means. They're not the same because some of them are measured happy and some of them are measured very tight. So halolo sochakot, halolo atsevot, I understand. Abaya has got a problem, which we will have to discuss tomorrow.